All right? And what you've got to do is you've got to wait and you've got to watch this, okay? Don't touch. If you see him touching, just tell me. Not allowed to touch. Something is going to happen. You'll know when it happens, but you mustn't do anything except wait and watch until it happens. Is that all right? Can you wait? Yeah. Excellent. Do you like waiting? No, he doesn't like waiting. Anybody else not like waiting? Goodness me. Eloise, you don't like waiting. Why don't you like waiting?
Because it's boring.
Because it's boring. Anybody? Any other reasons why people don't like waiting? Any other reasons? Sorry?
Uncertainty.
Say it again.
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty. Okay. I know that feeling. You know when you're on the phone and somebody says, can I put you on hold just for a minute? Electricity companies come in. Any other reasons? Oh, over there. I have to run round. Bye. Oh, thank you. And the door opened.
Hard.
It's hard. Okay. Yeah, waiting can be hard because you want to find out what's going on. Are you all right there? You fine? Good, good. He hasn't been trying to touch it, has he? No, good. You know, there's a waiting. I don't know if anybody's seen the waiting that's been going on recently. There was a story about an experiment with pitch blend. Has anybody heard about that? With tar. It started in 1944, and it's been going on. And what somebody discovered, they wanted to prove that tar is a liquid. So they put it in a glass funnel, and they put the tar in, and they started to wait. After 3 years, they cut the bottom of the funnel off, so they thought it was about ready to drip. And they've been watching. Do you know, it drips once every 7 to 13 years. And you know, there's one guy who's been watching to see it drip, and he went out of the room just before it happened. How depressing is that? But waiting, you're right there. Are you bored yet? Yeah. Just wait, something's going to happen, and you'll know when it happens. Okay. There's another guy who's waiting, and that was Roger Bannister. You've been listening about Roger Bannister, haven't you, this last week, because it's the anniversary of when he ran the four-minute mile. And what I found was really interesting was that... that actually he was going to retire. He was going to retire after the Helsinki Olympics when he got his gold medal, and he didn't get the gold medal. And he was so devastated that he decided to wait before he retired and practice much harder, and as a result, he broke the four-minute barrier. And he said on the thing, he said, yeah, if I'd got that gold medal, I'd be one of 20 people or so who got a gold medal, and nobody would remember me. But because I didn't get it, I carried on, and I got the four-minute mile, and now everybody knows me and who I am. So he had to wait. You see, waiting sometimes can be a really good thing. And it can be good to be bored. Because actually being bored and waiting is often very creative. And Jesus said to his disciples, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to wait for something to happen. And you know, we need things and times of waiting in our lives. And some of us may be in times of waiting. Some of us may be in times of waiting in our work. Perhaps we've been doing the same job for a while and we're wondering whether it's going to change. Or maybe we're waiting at school for some of those little things called GCSEs. And it's very frustrating to have to wait. Or A-levels. Or maybe we're waiting for a holiday. And all of those things can be... They can be frustrating, but they can also be really creative as we begin to learn and to listen. And you see, when the disciples were waiting, they didn't just sit around and go, I'm bored. They started doing things. They started electing somebody to take Judas's place. And they prayed together, and they got ready for whatever God had for them. Now we're going in a moment to sing our next song. But we're going to go on from there and going to hear a story from Monty about waiting. Are you all right to carry on waiting? Thank you. Just say Monty didn't like waiting. How are you doing?
Fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is it like being at the dentist?
No.
Oh, well, that's all right. Well, just carry on waiting. When something happens, you'll know what to do, okay? Are you ready for that? Just watch out carefully so that you can see when it happens. The disciples were raised up by Jesus for fruitfulness. And fruitfulness doesn't mean growing apples, but it means as we live as Christians on our front line, as we act, as we do our schoolwork, as we do the work that we have to do in our offices, as we talk and chat and build relationships, that God will bring a fruit both out of our relationships, but also a fruit of his kingdom. That actually, as Christians, we are meant to make a real difference in the life of people. Jesus uses another analogy. He said we're like salt in the world, and salt brings flavor. And that means that while we're living and working and doing our things, hopefully our presence there is going to make it a better place to be. Perhaps in our offices, when we're there, there'll be a little bit less gossip, for example. Or it might be that in our schools, in classes where people aren't concentrating and doing things, because we're there giving an example and following what Jesus wants, that people will begin to work a little bit harder and to behave a little bit better because we are there. They might not know why, but we're meant to be those who bear fruit, and fruit that can be seen. I was very interested to hear that when people became a Christian in the 18th and 19th century and they had an altar call and said, we want you to come up and give your life to Jesus, the moment they came up, they not only said a prayer saying thank you to Jesus for calling me, but they were signed up for the anti-slavery abolitionist movement. And I thought that was amazing. Because giving your life to Christ means being concerned about things like justice and truth and fairness. And that's part of the fruitfulness that we're meant to come for. Now, an interesting thing is that while the disciples had to wait for the Holy Spirit, God says that when we come to Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit, and that fruit will come up in us. And you know, that apple seed that was planted there, do you know what's going to happen to it? What kind of apple was it that it come from, by the way, Sean? A cox's apple. Do you think that when we plant that apple seed and it grows into a tree, what kind of apple are we going to get from it? Who knows? Anybody know what kind of apple we're going to get from that cox's apple seed? Come to you in a minute, Helen. A cock's apple? Who reckons a cock's apple is going to come from it? Put your hands in the air if you think a cock's apple is going to come from it. Helen, you put your hand in the air. You don't know. You don't know. That's the right answer. Because do you know this amazing thing is that in every single apple tree, in every single little seed, there is the potential for any single apple that has ever come to appear. Because the genetic code for all the apples are in all the seeds. And so it's a real problem for farmers, because if you want to grow a cox, you can't put a seed in the ground, lots of seeds from them, and get lots of cox fruit from it. Because God in his wonderful majesty has meant that every tree can give you almost any apple. So what the farmers have to do is graft them. And they take little bits of an existing tree and they graft them onto another apple tree. And that's another illustration. But for us, the Holy Spirit's a bit like that. That when the Holy Spirit comes into us, that seed that he puts in our life that grows and bears fruit will bear so many different things in our lives because none of us are the same. How's that waiting getting on, by the way? Has anything happened yet?
No.
Are you sure? Are you watching it closely? Something might happen. And when we're called to go into our places sometimes, into our workplace, we're called sometimes to actually take steps and to look for those things. And when we've waited for a while and God's given us things to say, there will be opportunities to come and do that and to share those things. And I want to invite Jane White to come up now. Because we're moving now from wait to witness. Jane, this was really planned well, this sermon, because I was service. So I was supposed to ask her what she was going to do tomorrow, and then it occurred to us that actually tomorrow is a bank holiday. So what I was going to ask her she was going to be doing, she's not going to be doing tomorrow. However, if it wasn't a bank holiday, what would you be doing tomorrow, Jane?
Tomorrow morning at about this time, I would be at a knitting and nattering group in Mangotsfield.
That's not funny.
It is.
So what do you do at the knitting and nattering group?
Well, there's about eight of us ladies and one gentleman. Mm-hmm. We knit, we sew, we crochet, we make braid, we drink coffee, we eat cake.
Has she sold it to you yet?
The cake is very good. And we talk. We talk about what we've done in the week before. We talk about what we've done in the week that's coming. I generally talk about church. I mention things I've done for church. The soup run. Ladies in the knit and natter knit me scarves. They knit me hats. Because they know it's important to me. I'm quite open that I talk about church. Some of the ladies are Christians, some of them aren't. But they all listen and they see what happens when you give yourself over to Jesus and you work for him. When I applied for the CAP job, I had to explain to them that I'd retired for 2 years and I was going to go back to work because I thought Jesus had called me and told me to do this work. A couple of them didn't understand it, but they saw over the weeks while I prayed about applying for this job that I became very calm, that I realised this was what God wanted me to do. Might not be what I had planned, but then I didn't make the mistake of telling him I had a plan because I didn't want him to laugh too much. But I can talk about my faith, whether I talk about my faith to the man I just bought my car off of, and I did, whether I talk about coming to church to the cashier in Iceland, I did. I invited all of them to church. None of them are here this week. They might be next week. I invite all my ladies from Knit and Natter. Maybe they'll come. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll see how much difference Jesus makes in my life. And I can't tell you how much difference he'd made in my life. I'm going to shut up now because I'll just go on and on.
Thank you. One of the things in my job is that I sometimes get to find out what happens in other places across the world. And the Diocese of Zululand has as its mission statement that we want to wait upon the Lord and to reach out to all people. And that's been really what this service and this bit has been about, that we wait upon the Lord, we spend time where we are praying and thinking and preparing, and then in the place where we are, we reach out to people everywhere. Is anything happening yet? No. It's so frustrating, isn't it, when you have to wait. But something will happen. You just have to wait for it. I think you better answer that. I think something's happened. Yeah, can you answer it? See who's there? Oh, try. Let's see if it'll ring again. What's happened there? Oh, it's a missed call. Let's see if we can get another one, shall we? Let's see. You see, after how we go. Hopefully, another call will come through, and then you take that one there when it comes. There we go. Answer it. Say hello. What's it saying?
No idea.
I'm sure it is. Listen carefully after you've waited a long time for this.
My wait is over, apparently.
Good.
Go to the altar.
Go to the altar at the back of the church. That thing there with the candles on. For those of you who don't know, it's called an altar. And it's spelled with an A, not an E at the end. Don't damage it. Okay, walk behind. I think she's saying walk behind the altar. Right behind it. A bit further, another step forward, and turn and face it. Look down on the ground. Underneath the cloth. On the ground. Oh, this is exciting. I hope you're enjoying the wait. Aha! He's found something. Now, are there any instructions? Have a quick listen. There might be some instructions on what you have to do with them. No. Are there not? Or perhaps it's gone. Well, I'll tell you what the instructions are. Since you've waited so patiently, the small bag is for you. But, oh, it's ringing again. Yeah, that's right. Just hadn't you worked it out? Well, you know, one of the great things about being fruitful for God is that we don't just get things for ourselves after waiting. We get them for others. So the small bag is for you, and the big bag, you have to give every single one away to a different person. Okay? But just imagine the joy you're going to get in giving those away. Thank you. So we wait upon the Lord, we wait in prayer, we wait reading his word and learning what it is, but we recognize that we don't just wait for ourselves, but we wait because God has called us to be fruitful in the place where we are, to share out his riches and his good things. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have called us. Thank you that you give us all so many gifts from your Holy Spirit. And we pray that we might use those and be fruitful in the places of our work, of our school, in our homes and in our communities, that your values of love and joy and peace and faithfulness and goodness and justice and truth might be seen. In Jesus' name, amen.